You are tuned into the Bishop Hankerson Show. Every time I turn around, God is blessing me.
Listen, I'm going to ask that you would please share this program. Will you please do that today? Hit that share button. And also make sure you hit the hearts. And if there's questions that you have, you can put those in the comment section. I'll try to get to a few of those during the course of this lesson, just like I did on Sunday night. Actually, on Sunday night, I was able to interpret a few dreams that some of you had as the Lord gave it to me, because I can't do it in myself. But nevertheless, tonight we want to talk about trances, people going into a trance. Can you imagine me just freezing and you looking at your screen? Well, is the screen frozen? Is something wrong with the internet? What is going on? Is something wrong with him? Is he crazy? I can hear other people saying that's nothing but hypnosis. So that's a demon is what that is. That's the devil. And so we want to find out tonight, is falling into a trance, is that biblical or is that something demonic? Because as we're believing God for revival and for these experiences, that's what I told Bishop Hall. I told Superintendent Newton. I said, I want people to experience God. That's what I want. We're going to do our thing and try to get out the way. And just whatever it is that God wants to do, we want people to experience God. Well, different people respond differently. The Spirit of God moves upon different people differently. And sometimes we'll look at certain things and say, oh my goodness, what is this? So let's get into this. Father, we pray that you would give us ease of delivery, give us understanding, revelation, knowledge of your word, and we'll thank you and praise you and give you the glory. Why is that? Because God, you blessed me to get this tooth out, and I'm moving on from this infection and all this pain I've had the last 30 days. So truly I can say, even if I have to eat nothing but mashed potatoes and yogurt and soup, I can truly say, every time I turn around, God is blessing me. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Somebody say amen in the comment section. Listen, as we get into this, what is a trance? What is a trance? What is a trance? A trance is this. You're not really going to find the word too much in the Old Testament Hebrew, but you will find it in the Greek and you will find it in the dictionary. A trance comes from a Greek word which denotes the state of one who is out of himself. The word ecstasy actually comes from this word. When you look at the word trance in the dictionary, it literally means a half conscious state characterized by an absence of response to external stimuli, typically as induced by hypnosis or entered by a medium. So we know by looking at the dictionary definition, that's the devil, that's demonic. So to answer the question right from the start, which normally I wait till the end, is falling into a trance biblical? Is it demonic? It can be biblical, but it also can be demonic. And we're going to learn from the scriptures that there has to be a purpose to it. There has to be something that God is doing, not just somebody just stops all of a sudden. Now, I've literally seen that happen before, a person going into a trance, and it was the weirdest thing I'd ever, I'm just being honest, it was the weirdest thing I had ever seen in my life. And this was during the beginning stages of the Pensacola outpouring. Actually, this was before things broke out in Pensacola, Florida. This was in Lakeland, Florida. Lakeland First Assembly of God was a church. I think it still may be functioning. It may have shut down. But anyways, they built a 10,000 seat auditorium. Many of you may be familiar with it. Just Google it and you can see. Rodney Howard Brown was their ministry. Rodney Howard Brown is a white minister from South Africa. Came to the United States a number of years ago, and actually he was the catalyst of what we know of Keith Ruffin as the Pensacola outpouring, the Toronto blessing. So if you remember in 1995, there was a powerful move of God that was spreading across the land. And some people called it the laughing revival because people would go into these fits of laughter. Sometimes people would fall out and start barking like a dog. Of course, we know in holiness, if somebody starts barking like a dog, meowing like a cat, that's a demon, because what glory is God going to get out of somebody barking like a dog and meowing like a cat? But nevertheless, as he began to go around in ministry, he was there in Lakeland, Florida. Great revival broke out there. A lot of people came from all over the place, and there were different signs and wonders that were taking place. And you may still be able to see that video on YouTube where a gentleman was up talking. They gave him the mic and he was talking. And all of a sudden he just froze. And probably for maybe 30, 45 minutes or so. Hey, good evening to you on Instagram. For 30, 45 minutes or so, he was just standing like this, you know, not blinking his eyes, not moving. And it was Rodney Johnson, the weirdest thing I had ever seen. And so they're going forth. He's standing there with the mic. They went on with the service. He's just standing like that. About 30, 45 minutes later, boom, he comes out of it and has this big message from the Lord about this great revival that's going to break out. Now, of course, for many of us, again, it would be the weirdest thing to see something like that. You know, we've seen all kinds of strange things as God moves in revivals. And some things, of course, have been fire from heaven. Some things have been wildfire from the flesh. And understand, as we're asking God to send the fire, there's going to be some wildfire as well. On Azusa Street, 1906 to 1909, when the power of God moved, and remember Bishop C.H. Mason went there and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, all kind of things happened. Frank Bartleman in his book wrote, and he said, every single witch, every single warlock, every single hypnotist from miles around all showed up there at Azusa Street and were present to try to go forth in their magic arts. And he said, really, it almost tore the place up, because there was so much of that. So they learned early on to plead the blood. And really, that's where you get that in a lot of holiness churches now. When something is strange in the service, people start pleading the blood. Well, at least people used to plead the blood. Now something strange can go on and people just sit there and look at it. But nevertheless, it is important that you understand that God will move in that way at different times, even though it's strange. So let's know what we're asking for. When we're doing these prayers and saying, oh, God, send the fire, send the power, send the glory, manifest yourself, show yourself strong. He may move in a way that we are not used to him moving in. And again, a trance is basically a state where you're out of yourself. All right. It's a half conscious state characterized by an absence of response to external stimuli. And again, a person may just be still. They don't respond to nothing. You try to, you know, hit the face or whatever like that. Hopefully you don't do that. They just don't move. And they're just stationary. We're going to talk about one evangelist here in a few minutes that during the early days of the Pentecostal movement, she would go into a trance and maybe in that state for 2 or 3 days. And sometimes at least for a few hours. And then when she came out, God would move through her. I agree with what you're saying, Taylor Shante. I'm going to put that up on the screen. She says, be careful what you ask for, saints. So be careful. Be careful what you ask for. When we say, God, any way you bless me. Well, I think that's good. But I think you need to be a little more specific than that. Because if you say, God, just send it down. Well, what is it? It can be anything. And a lot of times we're not prepared. Jesus told his disciples, there's a whole lot more than I need to say to you, but you're not even able to take it now. What more could he have? Like a song, what more can he do? What more can he do? What more can he say other than what he had said that would be more powerful than what was already brought forth, considering the fact he's walked on water, he's raised the dead, and Jesus looks at them and says, there's so much more I have to say to you, but you can't handle it now. So there's much more to God than what we can actually handle. I know if Peter, James, and John and all those individuals, he said, you all can't handle it now. I know good and well that I would not have been able to, handle it as well, because definitely there's so much more to God than we fully understand or can fully comprehend. So again, be careful what we ask for. And when we ask for it, you know, study the scriptures, study the word of God, to see are these things so. Even though the word trance is not used in the Hebrew, it is implied when Balaam begins to bless Israel in Numbers chapter 24. So take note, when I gave you the definition, I gave you the Greek, which is New Testament, and I gave you the dictionary translation. You can just Google that for yourself or go get your old fashioned dictionary or get a Strong's Concordance and look this up. With the Strong's Concordance, you can look up the Hebrew and the Greek. So when preachers kind of try to be deep with you and say, well, the Greek word this and the Greek word that, they're just really sometimes getting that from Strong's Concordance, unless they have actually studied Hebrew and Greek for themselves, then that is the case. And even now, I would say this, I would say that even when you put certain words in Google, it will even sometimes give you the pronunciation of what that word actually is. And so you don't have to guess what the word actually is. You can see it for yourself. But again, when somebody is talking about being in that particular state because of a medium or because you've been hypnotized, that is definitely not of God. But the problem is, as I was stating Sunday night, so many people really are so hungry for the supernatural, so hungry for God to do something out of the ordinary, that if they don't watch it, there's a fine line and they slip from the Holy Ghost power and slip into magic, slip into hypnotism, slip into necromancy, where you're dealing with the, or however you pronounce it, where you're dealing with the dead. That's basically what it is. And there's all kind of weird things where people just really want to perform and show something supernatural. There was this church down in Florida that this was something new at that time, but it was something new where you could take a light bulb and it had some type of switch in it where if you put it on your hand just by your touch, the light bulb would come on. Of course, the saints in the church didn't know all of this. And so this false prophet comes in, you know, I'm this and that and the other, and God is using me, and look at how much power I have. And Lord forgive me for laughing at the saints, but he takes the light bulb, places it in hand, the light bulbs come on. Of course, the saints are just, oh, you know, the power of God. No, it's just something that you can get from one of the stores someplace. And so we don't want to be naive. We don't want to be deceived, and we don't want to be so hungry that we just digest anything. We definitely do not want to do that. What you have, Deacon Colts, he's pulled up the word trance from, for some reason, I'm not getting it on here. Where are you at, Deacon Colts? Okay, you haven't come up where I can pull it up, but he pulled up the medical term trance. Let me see, can I get it here? An altered state of consciousness, as in hypnosis, catalepsy, or ecstasy. Yeah, that's definitely about the same thing, that we pulled up here. And so you don't want to be so hungry for God that you're like a little bird. Little birds are so trust. First of all, they're so hungry and they're so trusting of their mother, that while the mother is away, they tell me that you can come along with rocks or sand and their mouths are open and they will just trust you, and you drop that rock and sand into their mouth, and of course it kills them because they're so hungry and trusting. Saints of God, it's important to be hungry for God, but don't be so hungry for God that you enter into something else that is not of God. You just want God to move so much. Let me tell you what, God is not going to anoint you the same all the time. In every service, it's not going to be fire coming down from heaven. Some services are just going to be sitting flat foot and hearing flat footed teaching. That's why I like to do that periodically, just flat footed teaching. I can preach and holler and everything. And of course, I bring on guests periodically. But sometimes we just need flat footed teaching. I told you about the mother from the East Coast that said, thank you so much for teaching on these particular lessons. Because sometimes she said people holler so until I get so confused, we don't know what's being said or what is going on. And so sometimes you need that flat footed teaching. So I know that we have this belief that every time we come to church, it ought to be Red Seas opening up. Every time we come to church, it ought to be fire falling down from heaven. It ought to be the Philippian jail shaking and earthquakes happening. That is not going to happen every single time God's people come together. It's just not going to happen. When you read the Acts of the Apostles and when you read the New Testament about the life of Christ and about his ministry, yes, the miracles occur, but it's not per se that that is happening every single day. You go from Acts chapter 2 to a major event, and then you go to Acts chapter 3 to another major event. But what happened in between that? From Acts 2 to Acts 8 or so, even up to Acts 10, you're looking at about 10 years. So there's all kinds of things that may have happened that really weren't in the news or may not have been worthwhile placing in there. Well, we just went to the temple every day for prayer. But it just so happened in Acts chapter 3, they go to the temple for prayer and there's someone that's lame that is healed. But what about all those other times they went to the temple and there was there wasn't anyone that was lame that was healed? So let's be hungry for God, but let's be balanced in our hunger for God so that the enemy doesn't come along and say, you know what? Oh, y'all are hungry for this. You're hungry for that. Hey, I got all kind of magic tricks that I can show you. Now, let's go to Numbers 24, because, again, you don't really find so much the word trance used in the Old Testament, even though it's there in the King James Version. It's really implied. Numbers 24, 1 through 5, when Balaam goes to bless Israel. And take note, this is a statement of blessing upon Israel, because it's from Israel that the Redeemer of all humanity is going to come. And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. He did not indulge in witchcraft and all of that at this particular time. But what it says is that to seek for enchantment, but he set his face toward the wilderness, and Balaam lifted his eyes and saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up this parable and said, Balaam, the son of Peor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. So take note there in the text that what he is literally doing is he's falling into a trance. He normally uses enchantment. So whatever it is that he uses, whether he, you know, gets a rabbit foot or, you know, Lucky Charms or a horseshoe or whatever, whatever it was that he would normally do, he didn't do it at that particular time because he perceived that God wanted to bless Israel, and from Israel the Messiah would come. So what he ends up doing is he goes into a trance. His eyes are open. So, and I know some of us would be like, wait a minute, that is just the absolute red face, snake tail devil, that somebody, their eyes are open and they go into this trance and all of a sudden they start talking. And that's literally what happens. His eyes are open. He goes into this trance and all of a sudden this utterance of blessing upon Israel begins to occur. Of course, the king is really upset because the king wanted to curse Israel. And that's how come he hired Balaam to do that. But then Balaam goes into another trance. Let's look at Numbers chapter 24, 10 through 17. This is something. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee out of thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sendest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to either good or bad or my own mind. But what the Lord has said, that will I speak. And now behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. And he took up this parable, and Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes open has said, he has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty. Watch this. Falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come, watch this, a star out of Jacob. Watch it, Balaam. Don't get to talking about Jesus too much now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. Take note, a trance does occur. However, what ends up happening is the trance is focused on God's plan, God's kingdom agenda, and is focused on bringing to the forefront a message about the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer that is going to come. I like how Balaam talked about him there, because you can't tell me that's not him. He said, there shall come, in verse 17, a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Sheth. This is amazing. So what this lets us know, if someone goes into a trance and they come out of the trance, and they're talking about cursing this one and cursing that one, or they come out of a trance and they say, you know, the Lord showed me that I've been having salmon croquettes, but what the Lord is telling me now, I have to have tuna melt. That is not of God. That is not of God. That's demonic, or that is something that the person has just got into themselves, or they have some kind of issue, some type of mental illness. And so every time a person goes into a trance, what we need to do and make sure, of course, that the message is that they receive is focused on God's agenda, God's kingdom assignment, spreading the gospel to the lost, lifting up the name of Jesus. If a person goes into a trance and comes out and nothing happens, there's no message, there's nothing that comes from it, it's really not biblical. Because in the Bible, that's right, Taylor Shante says foolishness. In the Bible, when they went into a trance, they came out with a message. They came out with a revelation, and it edified the people. It confirmed God's plan, and it's something that helped to, you could say, empower people that are presenting the gospel, people that are presenting the message. Because think about this, when he started talking about that star out of Jacob and that scepter out of Israel, you know, they're like, wait a minute, there's a ruler that's coming. There's someone that's coming that's going to deliver us. There's someone that's coming that's going to break the yokes of the enemies. And this gave the people hope, and they looked towards the Messiah to come. Notice Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I know he was talking about the crucifixion. I know he was talking about that, but really in the crucifixion, they thought that they were dishonoring him. They were actually honoring him. They were lifting him up high. They were lifting him up above every situation. They were lifting him up above sin and up above reproach and up above death itself. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. So that's important. We don't want to come together in worship and in services and in conventions, and things are happening, and it's more of a circus than it is something to edify God. You don't want it where it's just a circus, and it's just like, okay, what does this have to do with the Lord? What does this have to do with lifting him up? We have to be careful, even when we do our holy dance. When we do our holy dance, and nobody loves to see the saints dance like I do. I mean, and some of the saints can do it. I mean, they can crisscross, they can go backwards, they can go sideways. I love to see the saints enjoy the Lord. I love to see the saints go forth in the holy dance. Every now and then I'll get out, and it's every few years, and do my step myself, but it's just not all the time. And so I enjoy seeing that, but the thing is, it's not a show. You know, the saints should enjoy coming together and praising God. We should enjoy magnifying the Lord. The Bible said, with joy we draw water from the wells of salvation. That's where our strength comes from. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that's what it's about. But then when it becomes, Lord, not step and fetch it. Who was that man's name? Not step and fetch it. You all help me with it. The guy that used to dance, Mr. Bojangles. When it becomes, and Mr. Bojangles can dance now. But when it becomes a Mr. Bojangles show or a Sammy Davis Jr. Tap dance show, then it's no longer about him. It's all about, look at me, look at how well I can dance. But when we dance, what we're supposed to be doing is giving praise to God. The Bible says in Psalm 150 to praise his name in the dance. And that's what we're doing. We're to praise his name in the dance. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise him with. Let me stop that because I'll get all off the lesson. My God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody help me tell God thank you right now. But that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to rejoice in the dance. The young and the old are supposed to go forth together, and we're supposed to enjoy the Lord. But when it becomes a sideshow, or when it becomes a circus, or what the old people used to call it, a monkey shine, when it becomes a monkey shine, then, you know, God is not in that. That's just, you know, you might as well just go down to the club and shake your groove thing or whatever, because God is definitely not in that. And now don't take that and don't go down to the club. Tamar Hankerson told me to go to the club and shake my groove thing. What I'm saying is there definitely is no glorification of God or edification of the saints when we're doing that. And it's no different from somebody shaking the groove thing down at the club. Of course, all the old, all the young people are like, shake your groove thing. What does that mean? Just Google it. You'll find out what it is. And so again, if you go into a trance, now, have I experienced something like that before? I would say kind of close to it. I remember one time, and I was known as a prayer warrior long before I was known as a preacher or organizer or pastor or anything like that. But I remember one time, I might have been 17 years old or so, maybe 16. And I was just in a state of just speaking with other tongues before God in my personal prayer time. And Sharonta Mitchell, as I was praising and magnifying God in tongues, it was almost like I just crossed over. And I just knew that, my, you've entered into something deep, and can you ever come back? That's what it was. That's what it was like. It was like losing the whole sense of everything around me. Now, notice, let's go back to the definition. The Greek definition denotes the state of one who is out of himself. Now, that's from the biblical New Testament Greek term. A trance denotes the state of one who is out of himself. Take note. Let me go back to it. Out of himself. It doesn't say out of order. Uh-oh. But like Mother Westbrook, you say, whoopee. It doesn't say, or Deacon Kimmel, you say it too, out of order. And it says out of yourself. It doesn't say out of your mind. So please understand that when God uses us in this particular manner, we're not crazy. We're not out of our mind. Oh, I couldn't help it. I just didn't have no control. Bishop Mason got after a lady one day. Whoo, I got to tell it. I got to tell it. I'm on bus. I got to tell it. He said, Lucy, you're lying. He said, you know, you ain't going to bust if you don't tell it. Stop that lying. And so people just feel like I just can't control it. And people like that, that talk about I can't control it. That's the people that, you know, say they're getting happy or whatever. Thank you. Boom. You hit somebody upside their head and knock their teeth out of. Glory. Boom. Bust the window open. And thank you, Jesus. Knock the bench over. Step on somebody's shoes. Glory. Bam. And one person is shouting, another person is screaming because their feet got stepped on. So out of yourself doesn't mean out of your mind or out of order. There's how could you say it? There's order when the Spirit of God moves, even though to the average person watching, like, this is absolutely crazy. And that's why Paul said, you know, when you have a message in tongues, you're supposed to be an interpreter, because if you don't follow a particular order, people just going to think you out of your mind. Anyways, they already think that, but you don't want to give them any type of credence to think that. And so when the saints go forth and God is using us in a manner, there is an order to it. There's a beauty to it. A lot of people think that Pentecostal people just let anything go. Well, you go up there and just get to speaking in tongues. Shimmy, shimmy, shimmy. Come out the cabbage patch. And all of a sudden they're going to get happy and fall out. No, saints that are really in tune to God, what's going to end up happening, we're going to say, that's not God. That's not the Holy Ghost. We were tarrying on the altar one day with the young man, and the mother's board was there. This was in another city, in another church. And we just, come on, call him, call him, call him. I guess he got tired. He starts saying, Hula Mashanda, Hula Mashanda. We looked at each other like, Hula Mashanda, that's not no, you know, he's making that up. So the head church mother, she said, he doesn't want nothing. She went and sat down. And so saints have discernment. We know when something is not of God. Now, there are times when we're so emotional, and it's great to have emotion. I wouldn't have a religion I couldn't feel. Sometimes the scripture says, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. What is my soul? My reasoning, my intellect, my emotion, my will, my thoughts. So there should be emotion when we praise God. There should be emotion when we worship him, but there also should be thought as well. He that worships him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's spirit, but there's also truth. Paul said, I'm going to pray with the spirit, but also with the understanding. There's a documentary that took place back in the 60s. And there was a young white evangelist that he was a, and some of you can say in the comment section if you know the name of this movie, but you can simply Google it. It's a documentary that was done. This young fella started preaching like at 3 or 4 years old, something like that. And so he finally got this illusion with his faith and backslid all together. And so there was a television team that followed him around. And he said, I'm going to show you how gullible church people are. I'm telling you all, many of you can tell me the name of the movie. If you recall it, because again, like I said, just YouTube it and you can see it on YouTube. So he tells his TV crew, I'm going to show you just how gullible Christians are. So he goes around to tent meetings. He goes around to black churches. He goes around to white churches. And he tells the TV crew, you know, watch, if you speak in tongues this way, watch how they react. If you say certain things, watch how they react. Watch how they fall out. And so he did all of these things going around, raised a ton of money. And he came back to the hotel room. The TV crew was there. He said, look at this. Look at this. He just throws all the money up. Look at this. Look at this. Look at how stupid they are. Look how stupid these church people are. They just fall for anything. And then he literally goes to a black church up in Detroit. Oh, I shouldn't have said the city. But anyways, he goes to a black church in a certain place in a certain a certain church in a certain town. And I mean, the saints were going at it. The choir was just tore up. And when you look at it, it almost looks like the black people are really trying to be seen on the camera. You know, you now you know we act up when the camera is, what, I'm on national TV and the house is full. Oh, I'm gonna act up. I'm not talking about me, but I'm saying a lot of people that don't normally act up, you put a camera in the midst, let them know they're on national TV and get you a crowd. That's when a lot of people really start to act up and clown and act a fool. And I'm telling you, they went at it. They're jumping out the choir. Mothers are rejoicing. The young people are rejoicing to the point that the white lady that's with the man has to tell folks, all right, calm down, calm down, calm down. Because they just went totally bananas. And so again, I'm sitting there thinking there ought to be someone that would have called that out and said, wait a minute, this is not of God, or just pleaded the blood of Jesus against that. Down in Memphis, I have a lot of stories. Down in Memphis in the mid 80s or so, you all may remember that were around at that time that there were many televangelist scandals. Before that took place, there in Memphis, Tennessee at the Holy Convocation, one of those ministers was a guest at the Holy Convocation. We had a old preacher here in St. Louis, Superintendent Moore, the late Alderman Sam Moore's father. He'd almost remind you of Moses. He talked with that deep voice. And he got up and rebuked in the middle of this service, got up and rebuked that evangelist and said, it's not of God. And it wasn't too long after that that this big scandal came out on television, on national television, in regard to that ministry. What am I saying? Just like Michael Blackman is saying, the Holy Ghost is intelligent. Let me put that on the screen. The Holy Ghost is intelligent. The Holy Ghost has sense. So the Holy Ghost does not mean we're out of our mind. It does not mean we're out of order. It does not mean we don't have control. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, God bless you, Pastor Preston Jamel Jones. I appreciate him so much. One of my great friends coming up at New Jerusalem. Well, he's almost like family. He is family from New Jerusalem Church of God in Christ there in Tacoma, Washington. God bless you. So you're not out of your mind. You're not out of control. You're not at the point where you just cannot control it. And if that's the case, if it's something that you cannot control, spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If it's something that you cannot control, then maybe that's not of God. Maybe you have a message. God has given me a message for the church. God's given, Pastor, stop everything right now. Stop everything right now. And Pastor says, hold on just a second. What is it that you have to share? And share that with me. And then let me hear this. And then I'll give you the opportunity. No. I got to share it now. Well, I tell you what, you need to go somewhere and sit down, because the Holy Ghost is intelligent. And not only that, 1 Corinthians 14 talks about the prophets, their prophecies being judged by the other prophets, and them discussing those prophecies, whether that is of God or not. And so it's truly of God if you're able to share that with the pastor. Here's what God has laid on my heart. And he tells you, hey, we can share that now, or let's share that a little bit later. Now is not a good time. Another story. Here we go again with another story. Then I got an illustration I'll bring you about Maria Woodworth Eden. Vera Boykins was a woman that was greatly used of God in the 40s here in St. Louis, Missouri. She's passed on now. But God would use her in a great way. And people said, you know what? That's just the devil. God used her in the dance. She would come in dancing as a young child and then just go laying hands and people would fall out, jump up on the tape. Now, of course, Mother McCain, you're watching too. And I'd have had a problem with that. I'm just old school. I was raised old fashioned. Don't jump up on no communion table or offering table or nothing like that and start dancing. But she would jump up on the table and people would get healed. Kennerly Temple, which was called Kennerly Avenue Church of God in Christ, was in debt at that time in the 40s. The elder Frank Hayden was the pastor and they were in extreme debt and really at the verge of losing the church. Vera Boykin comes in dancing, a powerful revival breaks out. And during the course of that revival, enough money was raised in order to pay that church off. And so God moved in a great way. So anyways, the saints complained so much that they sent word to Bishop Mason. Bishop Mason, you know, here's what's going on. You got to come and see this. So Bishop Mason shows up in the service. He comes and sits there at Kennedy Avenue. Saints are just, I mean, having a time. I mean, they had a time. They were having a, you were there, Hankerson? No, I'm telling you what was said. Anyways, they're having a time. So many Saints just are so into the details. They're having a time. And Bishop Mason gets up and hollers. And Vera Boykins is dancing right along with him. Bishop Mason hollers, peace! And when he said peace, the Saints kept right on dancing like they didn't hear nothing. Vera Boykins stopped just like that. She stopped just like that as soon as he said peace. And he stopped everybody. He told me, he said, this is the Holy Ghost. He said, because if she was out of order, if she was out of control, if she was out of her mind, if she didn't know how to submit herself, then that would not be of God. But the simple fact that everybody kept on going and she stopped just like that and followed instructions and followed orders, he said, I want you to know that that's of God. Now, I can hear some of you saying this. No, 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 no. We ought to obey God rather than man. Can't no man tell me what to do. No preacher can tell me. You can't. Listen, there's a difference between a controlling spirit versus order. And anyone that has authority is going to be up under authority. And I don't care how much inspiration. I'm going to bust. I'm going to bust. Like Bishop Mason said, you're a lie. You're not going to bust. And if it's truly of God, God's going to make sure that whatever it is he's placed on your heart is going to go forth. And again, I know that there are some preachers don't have much more Holy Ghost than this big old bottle of water I have. I know some of you all are happy because I love to drink soda. And they told me, said, for 48 hours, I can't have any soda. So, you know, I'm like my Aunt Clara. Aunt Clara, she wasn't sanctified. And so she smoked a cigarette. She was trying to get off cigarettes. And she was visiting our house one day. She was screaming, I'm having a nicotine fit. We said, no, you can be all right. So I'm having a soda fit, but thank God for the water. But again, if you're in a place, let me get to this. If you're in a place where the preacher is not more saved than this bottle of water, you know, not thinking about God moving, I know you feel like you're Superman and you can be the one to change the church and everything like that. You better seek God. I wouldn't be up under somebody that's not spirit filled and spirit led. I just wouldn't do it. I've never met a perfect leader. I understand that. But at least you got to at least go to Acts 2 and 4. I know I preached the cross and Jesus rising from the dead, but you got to at least be at Acts 2 and 4 for me. You got to at least be baptized and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then we can work with other things after that. And so to be up under that type of leadership is totally different from someone that is spirit filled and just saying, hey, there's got to be order. And I'm just trying to instruct you so that you don't go out and fall flat on your face. Now, there was a lady by the name of Maria Woodworth Eder. Maria Woodworth Eder. And I have a picture up here. Maria Woodworth Eder was greatly used of God in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. As a matter of fact, she was one of the early founders of the Assemblies of God. And so I would assume that she would have known Bishop Mason and his ministry due to the fact that when they started in 1914, Bishop Mason was at the opening service of the General Council of the Assemblies of God and actually spoke during that week of their first General Council. So she was greatly used of God, and she was actually called the trance evangelist. Not trans evangelist, trance. Oh, I got my Washingtonian Missouri accent mixed up. Trance, T-R-A-N-C-E. We're in a different day and time now, so you have to really explain things. Not trans, T-R-A-N-S, but she was trans, T-R-A-N-C-E, a trance evangelist. That's what they called her because people would go into trances in her meetings. She would go into trances. Yeah, True Love District, that's why I had to spell it so people could see what I'm saying. She would go into a trance sometimes for hours and sometimes for days. Let me read a quote about her ministry. It says here, as well as Woodworth's ministry being characterized by fiery preaching, it was also characterized by a very peculiar feature. Many times while she was ministering, Woodworth would freeze in a trance. And sometimes she would stay in this trance-like state for long periods of time, even for hours. Can you imagine that? Upon awakening from the trance, she would share with her audience visions that she had just seen. Often these visions were of heaven and hell, and many of her audience were shaken up by these sobering visions. If it wasn't peculiar enough for her to go into a trance, it was equally peculiar for the very same thing to happen to attendees of the meetings. The newspapers began to call her the trance evangelist. Many accused her of using hypnotism. She vehemently denied it, declaring that she didn't use any hypnotism and that the trances in her meeting were by the power of God. She said, "I know nothing about hypnotic power. I never saw a person hypnotized, but I do know something of the power of God, of the power of the Holy Ghost." And so that's a person that God used in a tremendous manner. So can you imagine a person preaching? And Jesus said, what did he say? "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And if you call on him, and imagine that, the preacher just stops just like that. You know, many of us, well, somebody call 911. Has he had a stroke? You know, is he having a seizure? What's going on? The blood of Jesus. I know that's probably how the blood of Jesus. What happened? Somebody's put witchcraft on the preacher, and now the preacher is frozen. That would be somewhat, you know, frightening for something like that to happen. But she would go into this state for hours, and the people would just sit there, and boom, she'd come out of it. And they say, just kind of pick up where she left off and talk about how she's seen heaven and hell. And if you don't get right, then this is what's going to happen. Scared the life out of the people, and they would get saved left and right. And so again, if a trance is going to occur, it needs to glorify God. It needs to edify the people. It needs to win lost souls to Christ, not just a person just freezing just like this and then coming to, and then you're like, okay, what did that mean? What was that all about? One of the most notable trances in the New Testament was when Peter was given the revelation of Gentiles being added to the church, and that's in Acts chapter 10. I won't have time to read the whole thing, but if you notice that while he was at the house of Simon the Tanner, it says, let's look at that verse 10, Acts 10 and 10. "And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance." Now, Peter was praying, because it says in verse 9, "On the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour," that's 12 noon. "He became hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance." I could see somebody say, "Yeah, I'd fall into a trance too. I'm hungry and you're taking forever to fix the food." But Peter fell into a trance. And when he falls into this trance, the Lord shows him all of these, you know, animals that are considered unclean, you know, pig's feet, pig ears, hog maws, and tails and everything like that, and chitlins, and imagine some of everything. And God says, "Rise, Peter, slay and eat." He said, "Not so, Lord. I don't care who you are. I'm not eating nothing unclean. I've never done that in my life." He said, "Don't, whatever I've called clean, you don't call it common." And so that's the revelation that the Gentiles are to be brought into the church. The Jews got after him about this because he preaches in Cornelius' house. Gentiles get saved, sanctified, baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and baptized in water. And in Acts 11, the apostles and brethren in Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they said, "We don't care anything about you walking on water. We don't care anything about you preaching on the day of Pentecost. You were with the uncircumcised, and you went into men uncircumcised, and then you had the undecency to sit down and eat with them." But Peter rehearsed the matter. And it says here in verse 5, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision." And so when he explains the vision, explains the Gentiles getting saved, sanctified, and filled, and water baptized, they begin to rejoice and say, "Well, we guess repentance has been granted unto the Gentiles." The same thing happened to Paul in Acts chapter 22, verses 4 through 22. Obviously, I won't be able to read the whole thing. But if you notice, Paul is accounting to the Jews at Jerusalem his experience of being called. Well, first of all, his experience of getting saved, his experience of being called to the ministry, and his experience of being sent to the Gentiles. And so when you get to let's read it, verse 16 of Acts 22. "And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized." This is Ananias talking to him, "and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple," watch this, "I was in a trance." And in that trance, the Lord is literally telling him, verse 21, "I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." Of course, in verse 22, the Jews have a fit about this and say, "No way, no how. This man needs to be executed. This man needs to be killed." So looking at Peter's experience and looking at Paul's experience, again, this was a revelation of the gospel being preached. This was not, they just went into some state and came out and said everybody, to everybody, "Hey, everybody, I'm spiritual. I'm more holy than everybody else because I went into a trance. Look at me. Put a badge right here. What does this badge say? You fell into a trance. That's right. I'm more anointed than anybody else. They didn't do that. They received a message, and the message was to spread the gospel to the lost. The message to Balaam was God's going to bless Israel because there's going to be this ruler that, hallelujah, that comes out of Israel, and he's going to bring deliverance to the people. So if it's not focused on Jesus, it's nothing but hypnotism, is nothing but something demonic. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 4, he says, not only did I go into a trance and find out this revelation that I'm supposed to share the gospel to the lost, especially to the Gentiles, he said, but listen, I will come to visions of revelation of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in body I cannot tell, whether out of body I cannot tell, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And this man, whether in body or out, I don't know, he was caught up into paradise and heard words that I would be put in jail if I told you what I saw. I would be put in jail if I told you the things that I heard. There's just no way I can even describe it to you. It is just simply amazing. It's something that is totally indescribable. So are trances biblical or are they demonic? Trances are biblical if they glorify the Lord, if there's a message to the people of God uplifting Jesus, if it is discussing or a person has received revelation, whether discussing God's agenda, whether discussing the expansion of the kingdom of God, then that's definitely of God. But if a person just goes into a fit and they freeze up and then they start talking after that and there's nothing that came from it, that was either self, that was either stress from whatever it is that they've been dealing with in life, and that was just a reaction that their body had, or it is demonic. So trances are biblical as long as they uplift the Lord and are about God's plan. And there are people that went into trances in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament. It's not something we talk a lot about. And even when we get into in-body or out-of-body, can you imagine an out-of-body experience? Your body, he says, I don't know whether I was in-body or out, but if I was out-of-body, my body is sitting right here, you know, at the church or wherever, and my spirit has gone off someplace else. And believe it was Elisha that said that, you know, did my spirit go with you when you went out? Talking about you wanted all this stuff. I turned stuff down. You wanted stuff. My spirit went right along with you. I'm sitting right here just enjoying myself, you know, drinking some mango juice and all of that. Where does that say that in the Bible? I'm just making it applicable to everyday life. He's sitting there and, you know, Gehazi goes off and says, hey, I'm going to go get some of this stuff. The prophet says, my spirit went with you when you did that. Paul even said that. He says, I'm where I'm at. But to you, Corinthian church, my spirit's been there with you, and I've already judged. And when you come together with my spirit, what you're supposed to do is put this person out and turn such a one over to Satan. That's some deep things. But realize this. The reason I'm teaching this is so as we experience God, we can make sure that everything is biblical and lines up with the word of God and not just a lot of weird things, because people will pull out these scriptures and they will come to you with all kind of weird stuff that is not of God at all. Perhaps there's somebody speaking not of God. You are not of God. You don't have Jesus in your life as your personal Lord and Savior. It's important that you receive him today, receive Christ as Lord and Savior. That's more important than going into some kind of trance and falling out or having some kind of experience. The greatest experience you can have is to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're not saved, stop what you're doing right now and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I believe that you're the Son of God. You gave your life for me. God gave you for me, and then you gave your life for me. And so I open to you the door of my heart, and I receive you into my heart as my resurrected Savior, as my Lord, and as my King. And because you are my Savior, I'm asking that you would give me my inheritance. And that is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I receive the baptism now. In Jesus' name, amen. Begin to rejoice and give God the praise. And thank you all so much for chiming in. Got to go because we have our Bible study that will take place here at Life Center in the next few minutes online on the Life Center page. But we appreciate those of you that have chimed in on Clubhouse. God bless your heart. Appreciate you. God bless you also. Instagram, thank you so much for chiming in. And everybody watching on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, and Twitter. Listen, don't ever forget that every time you turn around, God is blessing you. Have a great evening.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bishop Hankerson Show. Make sure to follow Bishop Elijah Hankerson on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And remember, every time I turn around, God is blessing me.